new CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's RBC Heritage. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. What up, Greg?
What's going on, Rick? This has like a combo episode feel. It feels a little bit like a Friday at the midway point, but at the same time, it kind of feels like it's, dare I say, over? Is this thing close to over, Rick? What do you think?
I think it's certainly close, thanks to our friend Stuart Sink backing up his 63 with another 63. We should just run the same stuff we said last night. I mean, Stuart Sink goes out and 63 was the lowest score he has ever shot at Harbor Town. He's won here twice, so he's had a lot of low scores here. He liked it so much, Greg, he just did it again on Friday.
And this time he didn't hit his first tee shot into the water. He tried on his last. I mean, he got pretty aggressive there on 18, but this is just a ridiculous round of golf. It's another one where he is basically just dominant tee to green, second tee to green for the day. He's of course first for the week. He was sixth approach the green. He had 14 of 18 greens. He didn't hit very many fairways, but it wasn't like he was missing and hooking it around trees like Patrick Cantlay was yesterday. So it's still a really quite an impressive round. He was very good in the short game as well. He got up and down when he did miss a fairway, had to pitch. I think he did that on 12, if I remember correctly. So yet another really impressive round of golf with very little wind out there. And Rick, I mean, you look at this leaderboard and there just aren't that many guys who can catch him. So
he's five clear of second. He is probably seven clear of third. I guess Emiliano Grillo, depending on what he does here, if he makes birdie on his final hole, could get to 10 under, but he would still be six shots better than that. Grillo lining it up literally as we speak. But yeah, I mean, this is special stuff. I love that little nugget. That's my favorite nugget this week, Greg, is that he's made one bogey this week. It literally came on his first hole of the week on Thursday, his first shot into the water on number 10. I didn't believe you when you said that. I had to go back and check. That's awesome.
Yeah, his first shot went in the water and he's since gone basically birdie, par, birdie, par, birdie, par, every single hole. It's been ridiculous. So I think it's great to see. It's great to watch because it's really good play. And like we talked about yesterday, this guy's gotten a lot longer off the tee. He is clearly flushing every single shot and no wind out there today really to speak of. So it was kind of a happy hunting ground for him. It was a beautiful display tee to green. I love what he's doing with his irons and I have a hard time seeing a veteran like this in this kind of form, who's got the perspective of having his son on the bag. I don't see this getting complicated over the weekend. And that's normally what happens when you get a lead like this. It gets really complicated and all of a sudden things go fast when you make one mistake. And it's just hard for me to picture that right now.
We are in a bit of uncharted territory here, historic territory, because Sink becomes the oldest player in PGA Tour history. He's 47 years old to begin a tournament with two rounds of 63 or lower. Also, doesn't matter their age, but 11 others have done this in tour history. Seven of them have gone on to win. And then here's maybe the best nugget. I believe this is a J-Ray stat. If not, it can be his. We'll credit him for this anyway. The last 40 years, only one player has had a multi-win season on the PGA Tour after turning 47 years old, Greg. It was Kenny Perry, who not only did it in 2008, but he did it in 2009 as well. So only one guy's done it, and he's done it twice.
Wow. That was Kenny Perry was playing some golf then in 2009. Do you remember that year, Rick? He should have won the Masters.
I remember really? That. I don't remember his full year, but I remember like he should have won the Masters.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's all I remember from the year too. But then you mentioned that he won twice in that year and won twice the year before that. I mean, Kenny Perry was playing some golf, but the Masters should have been his, which is fascinating. So yeah, this is uncharted. This is it's a very, very good opportunity. So I guess the question now, Rick, is if it's not going to be Stewart Cink, how many guys do you think can actually catch him? If somebody can, which I think is going to be hard to do, who can catch him?
Okay, so I actually think if we play this game, if it's not Stewart Cink, then a lot of guys are in play because that means Cink came back to the field, right? Like if he just shoots two over, if he shoots 73-73 on the weekend, everybody's back in play.
Yes.
So if Connors is in play, then so is Will Zalatoris, who is four shots behind Corey Connors. So it's really just a matter of Stewart Cink if he's going to come back. Speaking of the Canadian, Corey Connors shoots a cool 67-64 over his first two rounds, including a 30 on his second nine on Friday. He's been playing well. This is obviously a place that sets up well for him. He probably shoots 67-64 feeling good about himself. Still going to be five shots back of the leader.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. Five's a lot. But at the same time, I think if Corey Connors may be the guy that could catch Stewart Cink without him shooting an over par round, right? If Corey Connors were to go out again tomorrow and shoot five under and Stewart Cink shoots two under, if Stewart Cink shoots five under over the weekend and gets to 21, there are very few guys who could get to 22. I think Corey Connors may be the only one. Which I know it's only one shot different than Grillo, but I mean, you're talking, it's real slim pickings. And it looks like Grillo did, by the way, get to 10. So he's six did. Back.
He made so that he's birdie.
Six back. But is he going to shoot 12 under over the weekend? I doubt it. Is Corey Connors going to shoot 10 under, 11 under over the weekend? I doubt it, but I think that's the best chance. So if you're Stewart Cink, I think your target number is get yourself to 21. And I think you got this locked up.
Yeah, I think that's fair as well. Cam Smith went out and shot something special on Thursday. He did it without gaining strokes on approach, so we kind of assumed there was regression in his future. We saw that on Friday because he goes 62 on Thursday and an even par 71 on Friday. He made, let's see, three birdies offset by three bogeys. Not too much special in either direction for one Cam Smith.
No, and I mean, he actually gained more approaching the green than he did yesterday, but the putter just went completely ice cold. All of a sudden, he loses three shots putting today. He was 129th in the field, strokes gained putting for the day. So while he did hit it a little better, I mean, at least in terms of the numbers, he hit fewer greens and he hit fewer fairways, but he gained more shots. And all of a sudden, he just the putter goes ice cold. And it's a kind of a, three birdies, three bogey. That kind of a round is really, that's a cool round out here because there are so many birdie holes. You hope to get at least a couple under par when there's no wind.
If he wasn't seven shots back, I'd be very interested in Colin Morikawa because he's playing so well right now. He goes out and he shoots a 68 on Friday that included him losing over a stroke and a half putting. So he shoots three under while losing a 1.6 strokes on the greens. That is a very scary, deadly situation for the rest of the field. I understand the situation that we're in. Stewart Cink way up, but Morikawa is doing it right now. This is the blueprint.
Right. I agree. And again, he's a guy I expect to be there should Stewart Cink come back to the field a little bit, which is possible. These things can happen a lot quicker than it sounds when we talk about it. We talk about it, or at least I'm talking about it like it's impossible, but it could flip very quickly tomorrow in the early afternoon. But what Morikawa did today is he got back into Colin Morikawa type form. All of a sudden he's eighth for the day approaching the green rather than 44th yesterday. He continued to hit fairways. He continued to hit greens, but all of a sudden the iron play just got a little bit better. And that is a scary thing because that is not a guy who just got hot with the irons today. That's a guy that he got back to normal. He gains three shots approaching the green, and it's not a shock to anybody. It's not a outlier. It's a normal round for him. So, yeah, it's definitely a scary thing. If he can get a couple more putts to drop, then you better watch out, because, you know, he can come chasing. Again, I don't think he can get to 21 or 22 under, but he can get pretty close.
Here's what we'll do. We'll talk about the odds to win this tournament. And then because Stewart Cink is so far ahead, a lot of books are going to start offering winner without Cink. So we can talk about that too, essentially who would come in second, or if they win, they win. But a lot of books will start to offer that. We saw that for the Masters as well when Hideki had his, five shot lead heading into Sunday. So we'll talk about that, but we're going to do it right after a quick word from our partners.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. All right, Greg. So no surprise, with a five shot lead, Stewart Cink over at William Hill is nearly even money. He's plus 130. Corey Connors, closest chaser, plus 550. Colin Morikawa, plus 750. Again, I do think we need to reiterate this. We see multiple shot leads disappear very, very quickly on the PGA Tour on Sunday afternoon. There are 36 holes left here. There's a lot of golf still to be played, but I view it this way. Stewart Cink, he is not a young kid looking for his first PGA Tour victory. He is not even looking for his first victory this season. He's already done that. He's not even looking for his first victory at Harbortown. He's already got two of those. I don't really see a scenario where, like, he melts down mentally. Maybe the game doesn't show up on the weekends, but, like, this isn't one of those scenarios where we talk about the real lead, Greg.
Right. I completely agree. This is the real lead 16 under. Yeah. And I agree with you about the mental thing, Rick. I think it's a great point, because he's got his son on the back, which helps with the perspective, the general perspective. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. But he could go out there and shoot even par. He could get cold with the putter. This could get, even par tightens things up tomorrow, potentially very quickly. You get a couple of guys chasing him. He'll still likely have a lead, or at least be right there. But even par is possible. The best players in the world shoot even par all the time. So, but Rick, who on this list do you look at and really, really like for other than Stewart Cink?
Yeah, the model loves Morikawa, right? Like, what he's doing, just ball striking the heck out of it, not being able to putt. He had a couple of that could have easily been his 68 on Friday. I watched a lot of, could have easily been another 65. It could have been a 64. He hit the ball unbelievably. Outside of that, you know, Abraham Answer is a little bit further back. He played really well on Friday. He's, I believe, leading the field. Let me just confirm this. No, he is fifth in the field in strokes gained approach. He's one of the top players in strokes gained tee to green, and he's average with the putter right now. So those are the two that I would point out if we weren't living in a Stewie Cink world at the moment. Those were the two that I'd be kind of keeping my eyes on.
Okay, I'm going to add one more to the mix, and okay. I know you're going to love this, Rick. and it's Sungjae. I think Sungjae right now, he's driving the ball really nicely, hitting a lot of fairways. He was fourth today off the tee. He hit 11 of 14 fairways, hit a bunch of greens. And I think he's the best putter in this group that's not necessarily putting well. He's not here in this position because of his putting. He's 25th for the week strokes gained putting. He's probably where he is more because of his driver and his irons, which is a good sign. He's 13th approach the green for the week so far, which he's been struggling with in recent weeks. So if that's back in form, I think Sungjae kind of has what it takes to really get hot and go chase somebody down. Maybe there's a slow Stewart Cink or something like that. Sungjae is kind of a guy I'd add into the mix along with Colin Morikawa.
I do like that. You're dead on with the approach game. He's gaining 3.6 strokes on approach. That was, I mean, I think he's lost 7 straight events in that category, which
shocking.
What we're seeing, unbelievable. What we're seeing now is more reminiscent of what we saw kind of in the fall when Sungjae was really good. So yeah, I agree. This looks like the best version of Sungjae that we get, which is always capable of making noise. So Greg, I mean, we'll leave it on this. I mean, it's Friday night. There's 36 holes to go. William Hill is essentially calling this a coin flip. So you can either have Stewart Cink or you can have the field. All of them. Stewart Cink or the field. Who wins this golf tournament?
I've taken Stewart Cink. I think this is a Vince Carter gift on Friday night. I really do. I don't like doing that. I know there's so much golf to be played, but this guy, he's got all the boxes checked right now. He's hitting the ball better than anybody else. He's putting really well. He's in a great place mentally. He's been on good form coming in. I think this gets, I have a funny feeling this becomes a boring weekend, which is going to be great for Stewart Cink. And we'll enjoy watching it. And there'll be a great little tournament for second place. Because if he wasn't playing, this would be a great tournament, right? There are some really fun names, some guys that we really like watching, chasing it down. So I'm taking Stewart Cink in that one.
I think I agree with you. I mean, there's no, I'm trying to make a case for not Stewart Cink. And I could say, okay, well, he's, you know, third in the field in strokes gained putting, but I can offset that and say, well, he's number one in strokes gained approach, right? So it's like, he's doing it all. Like, this is how he has amassed such a large lead. He's not afraid to win. He's won recently. He's not afraid to win here. He's done that twice. He's got a son on the back. I can't formulate the case outside of golf happens and he shoots an even par 71 on either Saturday or Sunday to open the door, or the wind, like maybe the forecast even looks pretty clean, Greg. Like if we get a change in this forecast and the wind starts to kick up, maybe that could do it. But I'm even having a difficult time formulating a way that Cink.
I could make an argument, Rick, that wind picking up helps Stewart Cink.
Oh boy.
Because it limits the chasers, and the chasers have a long way to go. So I think you need, if the formula for not Stewart Cink is he gets cold with the putter over the weekend and shoots, you know, 2 under or higher for the next 2 days. So he doesn't get past 20 under par. And then you get a couple of guys that come and chase and Sunday pressure builds. And that's how it happened. I mean, it's very possible that could happen, but I think he's in too good of a place right now, hitting it too well, too calm mentally. And this doesn't seem like a surprise to him. They're just kind of going about their business. He and Reagan, they're just doing what they do and getting these results. So they have a great process going right now. And I think it's going to last for 4 days.
Maybe we just come on here Saturday night and say, wow, he shot another 63. It's over. He just got open 63.
I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. Well, whatever happens, we'll be here on the First Cut talking about it. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob, doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Let me thank Greg Ducharme, who you can find on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at RickRunGood. This has been the First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.